So tonight I thought I'd offer a Dharma talk called The Dharma of COVID. And that's because I have COVID right now. And that explains why I'm both exhausted and I'm excited because, as I explained to you all, I really enjoy offering these Dharma talks and feel grateful to get to do so. But I contracted COVID 2 weeks ago. And I thought that I would apply Buddhist principles and practices to reflect on the experience of having this illness, since we're all still navigating COVID as a collective. And so I hope that some of these reflections will be helpful to you. And this talk might be a little different than other Dharma talks, because I am still really exhausted. And it takes me a little while to catch my breath. I'm gonna go really slowly tonight. I'm gonna take deep breaths as needed. I'm gonna take bright breaks as needed. So there might be some points where I turn off the video, I turn off the audio. Just know that I'm here with you and just sit, be present through the silent periods. So I'll be taking some breaks throughout throughout this talk. I think that Dharma talks are often meditative in and of themselves, right? So it's a powerful practice to just sit with what is, sit with any discomfort you may be feeling, returning to your breath, being present, bringing that awareness into your experiences, grounding yourself in your breath and in your body, even as you listen to some of these words. If I'm unable to complete the talk that I've prepared for today, then we'll consider this as part one. And I'll continue next week. Scheduled to give a Dharma talk next Monday with part two. So let's see how this goes. For me, having COVID's been like being on a 2 week retreat, but feeling pretty awful physically throughout that retreat, which is not uncommon for many of us. When we go on retreat, we bring these bodies with us, they may not be well. Difference for me is that at the end of the 2 weeks, I'm giving a Dharma talk. But there's some similarities. Everything's kind of pared down to the basic responsibilities of eating and sleeping. I've had less work responsibilities, and I feel like I'm fortunate to be able to not have to work while I'm sick. And I know that that's not true for everybody. Excuse me. I've had a lot of alone time, which we have in retreats. We're together, but also silent, and that noble silence provides a time for contemplation. I've had a lot of time for contemplation. But it's also been different than a retreat, and that many of our responsibilities when we're sick may still continue. For me, it's been, I have children and caring for my children. My husband is also has COVID. So we've been, both having to parent at the same time. As work with this illness. And another difference is that my energy of focus and mindfulness was not intentionally being practiced the way I would in a retreat, where there's a lot of intentionality around the practice. And so there has been moments of mindfulness. I've definitely sat in quiet, But you know, not in the type of intentionality where it's all day long and you're moving from one type of mindfulness practice to another throughout the day. So in today's talk, I'd like to explore three themes that arose while I've experienced COVID. And the first is I'm calling not problematizing experience. The second is time for introspection. And the third theme is patience. So for the first theme, not problematizing experience. So after the first few days, when the acute symptoms had subsided, I was left with this exhaustion. And I had a lot of time to simply sit and be and watch how thoughts try to take over and turn my experiences into problems. So some of you may have noticed this happens to you too. When we have enough time to kind of be quiet down, suddenly like all these problems just start rising to the surface. And the practice, you know, is interesting around that, I find. It's like, just be with the experience, right? We don't want to go on that train and go down that problem train, right? But at the same time, we want to acknowledge whatever our experience is. So I started to notice that my direct moment-to-moment experience of COVID was really different than the societal stories told to me about COVID. And it became interesting for me to just sort of sit with, like, what is this experience of COVID without the story of the problems around COVID? My parents are especially kind of talented with creating stories around health and illness that that seem to kind of impact me deeply throughout my life. And so it became a challenge for me not to like put a lot of fear that really came from other people's fear onto myself around COVID and what would this mean for me? How will I experience COVID? And what I found is like moment by moment, there's been a lot of discomfort. But if I don't attach the story, there's not been a problem. You know, if I don't attach, there's been times where I do have trouble breathing. And the story that I've heard around that is that, oh my God, if I'm having trouble breathing, I'm going to end up hospitalized, or I'm going to end up needing to be intubated. You know, and all of these are the experiences that some people have had. And the question for me became, how do I just be with this experience of having some difficulty with breathing without attaching meaning or story to it? So that's been the practice. I've just been able to sit and watch how the stories come up. Many, many, many different stories, and how I get triggered by different people's reactions. And then just keep coming back. Like, what is this experience like? What does it mean to sit with my breath when it's a labor? It's a little bit of a labor to breathe. And as I've been doing that, the breathing has eased. As I sit with labor breath and just be with it, it's like a layer of fear lifts. And I think some of some of the trouble I've had with breathing has a lot to do with some fear. And so as I'm sitting with that, the fear lifts, breathing eases. And I'm noticing the roots of the fear. Not spending too much time, in analytical thought. What does this mean? What does this mean about my childhood? What does this mean about the stories that have been told to me about health and illness? Not that, but just sort of noticing, that this fear is based in a story. And what is the direct experience? The Buddha did not instruct for us to sit in our anxiety-producing stories for long. At some point, like sitting with a story may become dwelling in if we're not mindful. You see that like subtle but important difference? We can notice and sit with, be present for, but have a little distance from the stories. We're not identifying with the story in this way, right? We're sitting with, we're a presence for the story that arises. But there's a fine line between sitting with and noticing our stories or dwelling in our stories where we become part, identified with the story. And so the Buddha recommended a few things to do with these anxiety, fear-based stories that we experience from time to time. If we're humans, we experience fear, right? And anxiety. So one thing he suggested was that we substitute our anxiety-producing thoughts with beautiful thoughts. And that's really the practice of metta. Metta, loving kindness meditation, is a way for us to focus our mind on love and friendliness and beauty. And so through the words and phrases that we use in metta practice, which we'll do a little bit later, it's a way of substituting. It's a way of bringing the mind to focus in this like beautiful way. And then we're not dwelling in the fear-based or anxious story. Another recommendation of the Buddha was to ignore thoughts. And I've considered that for a while. How do you ignore thoughts? I haven't, for a long time that perplexed me. It was almost like a koan, a Zen koan where it was just like, didn't quite make sense to me. Can you really ignore a thought? But recently I've learned a practice by a meditation teacher named Jeff Carrera, who suggests that you attend to thoughts or you notice thoughts as kind of like background sound of a television. If like there's a television on in another room and there you could hear like the noise. And if you focus in on the television, the noise of the television, you'll hear what the characters are saying. But you can also kind of get into this state where if somebody has the television on in another room and you're in a different room, you're not focused in on the words. There's just this background sound, right? And you're focused somewhere else. And so when I think about ignoring thoughts now, I just consider it like background noise. Like, yeah, thoughts are happening. That's what the brain does. The brain thinks. I don't need to try to shut that down or get obsessed with it or whatever I might do to like want it to go away. I can just sort of ignore it by treating it like just background noise. It's gonna happen. Sometimes I need those thoughts. Sometimes they're important. Most of the time they're not. I don't necessarily need all those, the different thoughts that are flashing back and forth and through my mind, and especially the anxiety and fear producing ones. I can notice them, I can notice if there's a pattern or a story, because I don't want to ignore my fear to the point where I'm not attending to that fear, being compassionate with myself. But at the same time, I don't want to feed it. And so in some way, sometimes, you know, if it gets to a point where it's kind of compulsive thinking, then just ignoring those thoughts, letting them be the background of my experience. So the Buddha had this last resort to, you know, if none of those things work, to anxiety, fear-based thoughts, and he said, crush them. And he said, violently crush them, crush those thoughts. I don't have the exact language right now with me, but it's really interesting sometimes to read the very vivid language of the Buddha. I find it interesting that he promoted this kind of like crush your thoughts. The modern mindfulness approach does not go in that direction. Modern mindfulness tends to be more like focused on acknowledgement and compassion. So I've had plenty of time to interrupt habitual fear-based patterns with mindfulness practices throughout the last 2 weeks while I've been dealing with this. And I thought I'd share with you some of the ways in which I've worked with interrupting those fear-based patterns. Just take a moment of silence and turn off my video for a moment, and then I'll continue. So some of the ways that I've interrupted fear-based patterns with mindfulness practices and sharing this with you, maybe these are some of the practices you've used and then they become helpful reminders, or maybe some of this is some new ideas for you as you explore anxiety, fear in your own lives. So the first one is recognizing the thought as just a thought. It's kind of like putting thoughts in their place. Our thoughts are not who we are. Who we are, maybe we experience thoughts, but we are not our thoughts. It's just sort of, I usually just say, oh, that's a thought. And then grounding in present moment awareness through the senses. So just, you know, I find the senses to be amazingly helpful for grounding into present moment awareness. Like, I mean, just feeling the breath, such an incredible experience of presence, because the breath is always in the present moment, right? Breath doesn't live in the past. You don't think about that breath 50 breaths ago. You know, the breath doesn't live in the future. You're not thinking about what will that 1,001 breath look like from here. The breath is here and now, and it helps you ground into the present moment. But you can use your other senses in the same way, like sound, perception of sound. It arises and it passes. And it's just here now. Whatever sound is happening now. Sounds don't live in the past or in the future. You can do this with sensations in the body. You know, this gets very subtle. Sometimes we feel like our bodily sensations are solid, that they, you know, maybe we have some chronic pain in our back. And we trace that chronic pain back to 10 years ago. But if we stay with the exact sensation of the pain in our back, we'll start to notice that there's all kinds of movement, all kinds of sensation. There's pulsation feeling. We could stay focused on sensation, even pain. And use that to ground us in the present moment. That can be a powerful bell of mindfulness, bringing us into the moment as the experience is happening right here, right now. What does it really feel like? Not with our story. And some of those stories can be very fear-based. You know, not with our story. If I stay with the feeling of the tightness in my chest, I stay with a story, I can enter into a full-blown panic attack. And boy, will my chest get tight then. Or I can stay with the actual feeling of tightness in my chest, which is actually really complex. It's not one thing. And so I just sit with it and feel it, let it arise, let the feelings move, let them pass. So a thought is just a thought, and we can ground in present moment awareness through the senses. Another practice to interrupt habitual fear-based patterns, some of you might be familiar with, is called RAIN. Can I see a show of hands if you're familiar with this practice? Okay. Half of you. Great. I'm not going to go through the practice too much, but RAIN stands for recognize, attend, investigate, and natural awareness. And it's a practice that's really been developed fully by Tara Brach. If you're interested, she has a lot of online meditation practices with RAIN, and she's written about RAIN in her books. And there's a lot of material online through Tara Brach. But basically, I use this practice whenever I have an uncomfortable experience. Right. Usually around emotions, challenging emotions, not uncomfortable experiences, that those I tend to just stay present for, but more like challenging emotions. RAIN is really helpful. So I recognize by just naming it, like, what is this emotion? You know, maybe it's fear. Then attending to it. And that means just noticing it, being with it, letting it be, not trying to push it away or change it in any way, but just sort of being with it, attending. And then investigating it. And that means investigating in the body. So it's not a mind-based analysis. I'm not analyzing the emotion. It's an investigation, like, where does it live in the body? All of our emotions have sensations associated with it, and they they live in the body. So I can investigate. And then it gets, I'm bringing my curiosity to it. It gets very interesting. Something about this process starts to shift the experience. So now I'm investigating fear and it's like, oh, this is interesting. But it seems to be dwelling on my heart, or it's in my stomach, or it's moving, it's shifting places. And I can explore that. And then natural awareness is just bringing that presence and letting the experience sit within this vaster presence that we really are. So I'd like to share one other way in which we can, and that I've been practicing over the last 2 weeks for interrupting habitual fear-based patterns. And that is embracing the anxiety and the fear. Part of that means learning about how fear operates within you. Usually when we have fear, we just go dive straight into coping mechanisms. You know, we have our coping mechanisms. Mine is like, I notice that I go back to like my childhood comforts. And in childhood, I watched a lot of television. My parents had a television in every room. And so my comfort would be to watch TV. And so I notice that I'll start, you know, turning on Netflix to distract myself from the fear. And that's a coping mechanism, and it can work to a certain degree, but at some point it kind of stops being helpful. Our coping mechanisms can actually get in the way. And so just kind of learning about how fear operates within you, you know, where do you turn to for solace? Where do you experience the fear in your body? Noticing your patterns around fear. And then getting curious about fear. So bringing this, like, you know, in mindfulness practice, just bringing the sense of curiosity, like, what is this? Is it solid? Is it me? Am I fearful, or is fear happening through me? Kind of asking questions of the fear, or even befriending the fear, like, what are its gifts? Asking, you know, is there something that this fear is bringing into my life? And finally, treating fear with compassion. And that just means, like, being gentle with yourself. Just recognizing, like, I'm a human being, you know, that this is, you know, when we bring self-compassion to an experience, we can recognize, like, our humanity and also our common humanity. Like, you're not alone, you know. In this fear, there are thousands, maybe millions of people experiencing something similar, very similar to me right now. And we are connected in this experience together. Where Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese Zen monk, would guide people to talk with their fear. And he has very sweet words to say, like, inwardly, to talk, you know, to... Many of us are very, very familiar with negative self-talk. We say all kinds of mean things to ourselves, often. Thich Nhat Hanh said, don't do that to yourself. Like, to bring self-compassion would mean changing the negative self-talk to something positive. And he would say things like, talk to your fear like your fear was a beloved. Darling fear, I am here with you. I see you. That's a strong one. Telling yourself that you see your fear, whatever it might be, can really pop that bubble. It's pretty wild. Okay. So I've been talking for half an hour and I only got through one of the three that I was going to, the three themes around experiencing COVID, the Dharma of COVID tonight. So next week, if you'd like to join me, I'll be talking about introspection and a lot around patience, which is really interesting from a Buddhist orientation. So with that, I'd like to end tonight's Dharma talk, and we can sit for about 25 minutes of silence, and then I'll offer a guided meditation. So why don't we take about 2 minutes to just move around, stretch, and then I'll ring a bell to begin the silence set. Usually I keep my video on during the sit, just to be like a presence for you during the sit. I am here, but I may be turning off the video from time to time as I cough and things like that. So, all right, take about a minute and a half, move around, and then I'll ring a bell. Oh, I'll also be offering a little bit of guidance throughout the silence sit, just here and there.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.